turning to Matthew chapter 6, and we're up to verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. We're reading to verse 21, and this passage is, these three verses are poetic in a way. First of all, in verse 19, we hear the wrong way described, and we're told not to follow that way. And then in verse 20, the right way is prescribed. It's given to us as the way to go. And then there is a final statement, a short, pithy statement that tells you why. It's very important that we focus on why we set our treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus is after. He's after our motivations. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The words of Jesus Christ. So it's a very simple few verses. You're told where you should not lay up treasure, which is on earth. And you're told where you should lay up treasure, which is in heaven. And then you're told why. You're told the reason. What should be our motive. We need to consider that these are very challenging words. They're actually challenging to the point where a certain philosopher named Kierkegaard said that Jesus, when he says things like this, is the most terrible robber. He calls him a robber. Because he says, you know, someone might rob you 12 times on the road, but Jesus is taking away the very core of what it means to be human, according to Kierkegaard. Is that what Jesus is doing? Is he robbing in this passage? I suggest to you that Jesus replaces what he takes away. He's taking away something that didn't belong to you in the first place. He's taking something away from you that was not yours to keep. And he's replacing it with something that lasts. And he's telling you that the very orientation of your heart needs to be focused on that which lasts. Seek the things that are above. Jesus is replacing. He's giving you something better. He's taken something that will not last, and he's given you something better. Now, lately, on social media, there's been this craze, people deciding that they were going to stack up milk crates and try to walk up one side and down the other. And there are lots of videos of people falling on concrete, little children walking up and people are trying to hold them, but they're walking across milk crates. And there have been warnings, don't do this. Or maybe make sure that you have a soft area underneath. But sometimes we don't see in our lives that we are actually putting ourselves in danger. We don't see that we are walking on milk crates. We think that we're on solid ground. We think that we're building from the concrete things of the world, the things that are most valuable in the world, and those involve riches. There are actually two categories of riches that Jesus starts with, and then he mentions a third. And it's very important that we see what Jesus is talking about when he talks about laying not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. When he talks about moth and rust, he's talking about two ways that people would store up wealth: expensive cloth and precious metals. The precious metals can rust, and the cloth can be eaten up by moths. But Jesus is talking about the way that people used to store their wealth. You see, they didn't have banks like we have. They would find a place in their house, and they would store up these precious metals, or they would store up this cloth, and that was their treasure. That was their place where they stored their valuables. That was where their income went. But their houses, you see, were made out of mud brick. And so it was rather easy for a thief with a sharp instrument to break into that house. And when it says thieves break through and steal, they're literally breaking through into the house to get the precious cloth or the precious metal that's in that house. They're valuables. The most important thing that they have, their whole bank account. And people can just take it. But it's not only that people take it. Jesus is also talking about the general decay that is part of living in a fallen world. Rust. Rust impacts metal over time. The word for rust here is actually a word that is talking about eating, and it's a word that sometimes applies to the eating of rodents. So some former commentators talked about farms that were overrun by rodents, and they began to eat and destroy things. Do you know that rust does that? It does that even with treasure, even with things that are precious. Jesus is saying that these are not the things that last. He's not stealing from you. He's saying to you, these are not the things that last. I'm announcing to you something better. I'm replacing that. And I'm showing you where to fix your attention, where to fix your heart. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You might say, well, you know, I don't have precious metals in my house. I don't have cloths that are very valuable that I store up. I'm hoping nobody steals them. But burglary is something that applies to people in all times. And you know, when Jesus begins to use these examples from the world in which he's speaking, that he's speaking in a way that enables us to learn the principle. He's already done this before in the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking very specifically to his time and culture, but he speaks in a way that enables us to understand the point. We know it, that moths and rust are not the only sources of decay in a fallen world. There are floods. There are great thunderstorms. There are tornadoes that take out homes. There are things that people have that are valuable that just get swept away in an instant. And what Jesus is saying is that these are not the place for our heart to rest. Not resting in the things of this world. It's very important that we understand, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, the Bible talks very frequently about diligent work, about being a good steward, about providing for people who need your assistance, and enjoying the good gifts that God gives to his people. It's very important that we remember that Jesus is not telling us something that is against those principles. But he's talking about something different. He's talking about the motivation of our heart. Oswald Chambers, when he's reflecting on this passage, he says, if you try to persuade yourself that your treasure is in heaven, it probably isn't. You see, it's about our motive. And our motive influences our thoughts. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The very deepest part of your heart, what are you attached to? What is it that you cling to at the most basic level? And Jesus is telling you to cling to those things which are in heaven. Those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Notice the language here. It's very specific. We have to read it carefully. Lay up, not up for yourselves, treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You can't use this verse to say, well, I shouldn't have that fun that I wanted to pass on to my family. No, this is talking about focusing on things that you store, that you stock up on, that you use, not recognizing the temporary nature of them. Jesus speaks in Luke 12, this parable, and he speaks to people about covetousness. He says in Luke 12, 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus is saying, that's not your life. A number of things that you have. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? So you know what he's going to do, right? He's got more than enough. He's going to pass it out, right? He's going to give it to the poor. He's going to help other people with the resources that he's been given by God. He's going to rejoice at the opportunity to give. No, that's not what he does at all. This man has a covetous heart. He wants to grab it all and hold onto it for himself. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The point is, it won't be his. I don't know who's going to get it, but they're not going to be his. And Jesus finishes by saying, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, Jesus is saying there's a different type of wealth. There's a different type of wealth that can be built upon, that can be stored, that can be increased. And that involves being rich toward God. That's what Jesus is talking about. Later on in Luke chapter 12, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Augustine looked at this passage, Luke chapter 12, and he said, if the man had decided to fill the bellies of people that were hungry with the grain that he had, he would have had treasure in heaven. Certainly if his motivation was to share. Certainly if he was trusting the living God to provide for him. Certainly if he was fighting the covetousness of his heart. Only one who's joined to Jesus Christ thinks to do something like that. By ourselves, we hold on to things. The book of Ecclesiastes gives us some wise words about how it happens. Holding on to things actually does not produce satisfaction. He that loveth silver, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. He can't even sleep. He's worried about his stuff. It doesn't bring satisfaction. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof, to their hurt. But those riches, he goes on to say, perish, and there's nothing in his hand. He came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And what profit does he have? The wisdom, the book of Ecclesiastes. And Jesus is summarizing it with this very simple statement about moth and rust and thieves, and not storing up for yourselves treasures on earth. Well, what's Jesus getting at? He's talking about being rich toward God. He's talking about storing up treasure in heaven. He's talking about the way in which that is to happen. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is what you are to do. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I wonder if there is a place where treasure can be stored, where it's incorruptible. It can't be touched by rust and decay and moths. It can't be damaged by a flood or a tornado or a hurricane. And it actually steadies those who store it. When Jesus gets to verse 21, he's talking about your treasure being where your heart is. Your heart and your treasure united. He's reflecting a principle that we've already seen in Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. People of God in the Old Covenant were given the opportunity to come into a land flowing with milk and honey, a land full of treasure. They were given a warning before they entered into that land. Deuteronomy 8, where the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. See what's happening to the heart of God's people? Twice in that passage it talks about the heart. It talks about what Jesus is saying here. And we see the impact of the heart of the people of God, focusing on their own strength and their own power. And their heart is lifted up. And it says they forget God. And Jesus is giving you a way to be led away from that trap. Jesus is giving you something that will last. Jesus is giving you something that will reorient the priorities of your life. It will enable you to be rich toward God. Jesus is showing you the way forward. In 1 Peter, we're told about the magnificent impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, your heart was tethered, attached to a treasure that can never fade away. A treasure that can never be corrupted or influenced by decay. A treasure that is reserved for you. And Jesus is telling you to focus on that treasure. Something interesting happens as we're looking at verses 19 to 21. Because Jesus starts by talking about treasures, plural. And then he continues to tell you to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. But then when he gets to verse 21, he uses the singular. He uses the singular to talk to you, and he uses the singular to talk about treasure. There is a treasure that is associated with the orientation of your heart, your very deepest motives. And that is the treasure that has been won for you by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as the treasure that you are setting your minds apart upon, as we heard this call to worship from Colossians 3, where we're told to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then it says that your life is hid with Christ in God. Do you know what a treasure it is to know that your life is hidden with Christ? Around the world, there are Christians whose lives are threatened. They're not just threatened once in a while, they're threatened on a regular basis. They don't have the time to really think about finding some shiny object and stashing it away in their house for some future day when they might look at it and admire it. They need to know that their lives are hidden with Christ. And so as God brings them into those circumstances, they look up and they set their minds on things above and they find that their life is hidden with Christ. And then Christ begins to take over their life. It says in Colossians 3 that Christ is our life. That is the treasure that you've been given. Well, how does that apply to how you handle your wealth? Listen to this from 1 Timothy 6 as we close tonight. When the Lord blesses you and he gives you resources, listen to what the Word of God says to you. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know what that passage is telling you? It's telling you how to orient your heart towards that which lasts. How to lay up a good foundation against the time to come. In other words, to store up treasure in heaven. Recognizing that riches are uncertain. Trusting in the living God. Recognizing his goodness, that he's given us things to enjoy. But that we don't hoard them. We don't attach ourselves to them. They are given to us to enjoy. And then we learn to be rich in good works. We distribute. And we begin to pass on those good gifts that we've been given. Ultimately, your life is hidden with Christ. Ultimately, your treasure is Christ himself. But you cannot store up Jesus Christ for yourself alone. You cannot hoard him. You cannot focus on him and then watch him decay. You can't lose him through the passage of time. You realize that you've been given a treasure that is designed to orient your heart, that is designed to give you the deepest, most abiding motive for building up treasure. Jesus has taken away your attachment to earthly things. Kierkegaard says that's robbery, but only so that he might give. The Lord Jesus Christ is stolen from the rich in order to give them something that lasts in the place where they were poor. Men and women and boys and girls who need to have treasure that lasts, treasure that's provided in Jesus Christ.